ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकि। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
सो वी आर इन वी कम्प्लीटेड द 30th वर्स। ओके, लेट्स गो टू 31st वर्स। रीड द ट्रांसलेशन।
When the Kumaras, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead.
Yeah, the most beloved master, it's called Suhruttama, the word is used in the third line. Suhruttama, Didrikshita. Bhanga Ishad. Bhanga means break or stop or obstruct. So Suhruttama Didrikshita, they were very eager to see Lord Vishnu, but they were stopped. And Kamanujena Sahasa, he says. Suddenly Kamanuja, who is Kamanuja? Anger. Anger is called Kamanuja, brother of Kama. That's called anger. Sahasa te upapluta akshaha. They were agitated to see this. Seeing that purport, Prabhupada says in second line, the saffron dress is practically a passport for the mendicant and sannyasi to go anywhere. The sannyasi's duty is to enlighten people. Those in the renounced order of life have no other business but preaching the glories and supremacy of the Supreme Lord. The Vedic sociological conception is that sannyasi should not be restricted. He is allowed to go anywhere and everywhere he wants, and he is not refused any gift he might demand from a householder. Like Vishwamitra asked for a gift from Dasharath. What was the gift he asked? Lord Rama himself. Correct, no? Similarly, Hadai Pandit was approached by one sannyasi who wanted a boy to walk, go with him for Tirtha Yatra. And whom did Hadai Pandit give? Nityananda Prabhu, like that. So, similarly, Prabhupada also requested many householders, if you have four sons, why don't you give one son to become brahmachari? In the same spirit, Prabhupada asked. But sometimes a sannyasi may require some facility for preaching. In case a householder takes note that, like once His Holiness Shukadev Maharaj and Krishnananda Prabhu, they used to live very austere lives in Kurukshetra. And they used to sit under a tree and chant. They had a very small, you know, room. You know, it must be like one of our brahmachari rooms, small rooms. So they where they were living, and summer it used to be very hot. It had some asbestos sheet or something in the top. So therefore they would come out and sometimes chant under a tree. So one fellow used to go for jogging in the morning. So while going for jogging, he saw that who are these fellows? Every day I see them chanting. And so he saw their sincerity in chanting and preaching and everything. So he came and told them that he wanted to get connected with them. And then Maharaj preached to him. Within a few weeks, the man suggested that I have a big bungalow in Kurukshetra, I will gift it to you. So he gave the Kurukshetra property in Kurukshetra in those days. Later, of course, Maharaj moved to Nellore now. But that property came to him just because the man wanted to give a facility for him for preaching. Correct, no? So the householders are eager to support the missionary activities by offering prasad to a sadhu or a facility. They may offer a vehicle or they may offer a building. They may offer. So Prabhupada says that in this way the householders consider the sannyasis or renunciates to be God's people. Like even when Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha before taking sannyas, he used to support the Gaudiya Math sannyasis who would come to meet him. Yeah. And then Prabhupada says below, the next paragraph you see, fourth line, if one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother, anger follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumaras were also angry. You are seeing that? It's the second para. Yeah. But they were not angry for their personal interests. They were angry because they were forbidden to enter the palace to see the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the theory that in the perfectional stage one should not have anger is not supported in this verse. Anger will continue even in the liberated stage, and Prabhupada says. And the four mendicant brothers, Kumaras, were considered liberated persons. Still they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. The difference between anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that an ordinary person becomes angry because his sense desires are not being fulfilled. Whereas a liberated person like the Kumaras become angry when restricted in the discharge of duties for serving the Supreme Lord. See, this is the main difference. We ourselves can check our anger whenever we become angry. What is the reason for our anger? Say, for example, somebody has cheated you by looting Krishna's property from you. Isn't it? Sometimes when you go out. So, should we fight to get the property back or not? What do you think? Yeah, a devotee will fight. Like Arjuna fought, Krishna told, to get the property back. Somebody has looted something. Or if somebody insults Krishna, or somebody is insulting our ISKCON organization, so it is our duty to respond back and not keep mum. If you keep mum, maunam samatasya lakshanam. People will think you are agreeing. So one should be able to defend Prabhupada, defend our movement by giving the right arguments. Once I was distributing some Bhagavad Gita in the train. So one boy, along with a group of 5-6 boys, as soon as he saw me, he started singing Dhammaradam. Dhammaradam, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And they were all whispering and laughing. Then I went there, and other people were watching also. Then I told him about our organization, about Prabhupada's preaching in West, and the four relative principles Prabhupada gave, how even Westerners are following. How people who are eating go-mams, they have given up even onion garlic. People who are drinking liquor have given up coffee tea also. How there has been a radical change. So about 5-6 minutes I spoke loudly for everyone to hear. And other people heard and they were all looking at each other. So when I finished my talk, almost 6-8 Gitas went immediately. Cut, cut, cut. They're giving like that. So, of course, this boy was a little fearful boy also. Because he thought that he will be chastised. I didn't chastise him directly, but I told the truth. That gave me a chance to preach, correct, no? Get a chance. Because people say so many wrong things about our movement. Like somebody said, this ISKCON is a brainwashing movement. Prabhupada said, first of all, you don't have any brain in your head, what will I wash? This is one response Prabhupada gave. Another time Prabhupada said, you don't have brain, you have only cow dung in your head, we have to wash it. Like that he said. And then Prabhupada said, we are not a brain washing movement, we are a brain giving movement for those who have no brains. Another time Prabhupada said this. Another time Prabhupada said, okay, whether we are a brainwashing movement or not, if you don't know, study our books, come to the court, we are ready to fight with you in the court, come. And they really did it. In Germany, they took 40-50 ISKCON books and many of the fellows read it also. And there was a court case. You can read that. There's an article in BTG about it. You know? And ISKCON won the case also. So, Prabhupada liked fights. There was one Hamsadutta Prabhu in Lanka who was preaching. There was Kovur. This Kovur was an atheist. In the public newspapers, he was insulting God, religion, and pious people. And Hamsadutta Prabhu really took him for a trial. And Hamsasudha Prabhu's statements are 10 times more powerful if you read the letters. He solidly cut his nose. Not one or two letters, several letters. Back and forth, back and forth. And the whole report he sent to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very happy. Prabhupada said, these kind of fellows, you should take them to newspaper. Don't write private letters, Prabhupada said. Write it in the newspaper, let the whole world watch it. How you are cutting his nose. So, and Prabhupada liked it. Jayaswami Maharaj also has done like that in newspaper. Few times. He has done when atheistic people argued, then he would give counter. And he would tell them, you know, let us not have one-to-one talk. Come to the newspaper. I will put this week, you put next week. Let us see back and forth. So, it may appear to common people, you know, that, hey, what is this? Sadhus are supposed to be gentle, humble, polite. How can they become angry and they oppose people? Prabhupada says here, what is the purpose of our anger? That is most important. If the goal of anger should be to make sure that the movement progresses forward, or the movement is not destroyed by the atheistic elements. So this is, I am talking about social response. Now, coming to a community, in a community response, can somebody be angry? The purpose of anger is to do something constructive. You see, the anger in tamoguna is destructive. But the anger guided by sattvaguna is constructive. In the same manner, sometimes a mother or a father may become angry with a child who is playing all day and not studying. So if the mother and father somehow can exhibit anger and make the child fearful to come and do the studies, then the purpose is served. It's a constructive anger. Correct, no? Like one father, you know, picked up so much quarrel with the son because the son had fallen in love with a girl. So the father got him home and bit him with a stick in such a manner that the son ran away from home, never to come again. 10 years he couldn't find him out. So that anger is useless because it is destructive anger. Correct, no? If you see the Lord, King Prithu, when he became angry on the earth, there is one shloka which says, he was looking at Mother Earth in the shape of a cow. And he contemplated for a long time about what can be done to make this earth yield all the necessities of the living forms. Then he became angry. So therefore, that anger which arises after sufficient contemplation, that anger is actually arising from goodness. And that anger is meant for the welfare of others. But the anger which arises at the spur of the moment, like a snap decision, and then one becomes angry on the spot without much thinking, without thinking about the overall purpose, that anger is useless, destructive anger. So we can use anger or we can be used by anger. So when we use anger, just like, for example, the gas cylinder, you can use it in a calibrated way, you know, what do you call that? Regulator. Then you can use it for cooking, sabji, rice, chapati, all that. But if there is no regulator, then what happens? It will blow off. The whole cylinder will blow off, whole building will be finished. Similarly, the anger also has to be calibrated and used with discretion in a way that will bring about something very positive. Devotees, even in the early days, were afraid of Prabhupada. So they used to go to eat ice cream and donut in the shop next to ISKCON in West. So Prabhupada would be wondering, what is this after Guru Puja? No one is around for the class. So there was a short break. Prabhupada wanted to know, where have they gone? So he would go out and see. Sometimes they would be in the ice cream shop. They would be hiding below the benches, below the tables. They would see like this. Prabhupada again, you know, like that. So that is mentioned in Leelamrita. That fear is good because it's a fear not to displease the spiritual master. It is a fear because they love Prabhupada, but they are... So Jesus made one nice statement. The spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. He said, in one of the statements it comes in Bible. The meaning of this is what? Sometimes one wants to be Krishna conscious, but the conditionings are pulling a person down. So, and therefore, one should have sufficient fear of the spiritual master that I should not displease him. I should not take his instructions cheaply or carelessly. Correct, no? So here, the Kumara's anger is arising from a good cause. What is that cause? The cause is that they were stopped from taking darshan of the Lord. Therefore, they became angry, like the Prabhupada explains. So this is 31 verse. So here, 31 verse translation, Chakravarti Thakur says, Kumaras, their eyes suddenly filled with slight anger because their desire to see the Lord was thwarted, and they spoke, Munaya uchuhu kovami hatya bhagavat paricharya yochais tadharminam nivasatam vishamasvabhavah tasmin prashanta purushe gata vigrahe vam ko vatmavat kuhakayoho parishankaniyah.
The sages said, who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality, even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy is coming into the kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves.
Like that they spoke. See, in the purport, Prabhupada says, fourth line, when a conditioned soul is liberated and becomes a devotee, about 79% of the good qualities of Lord develop in his person. Therefore, in the Vaikuntha world, there is no question of enmity between the Lord and residents. Here in this material world, the residents may be inimical to the chief executives or heads of the state. But in Vaikuntha, there is no such mentality. One is not allowed to enter Vaikuntha unless he has completely developed the good qualities. The basic principle of goodness is to accept subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then 2-3 lines later, Prabhupada says, it may be said that the doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not be allowed. And that is not relevant in this matter because no one is allowed to enter Vaikuntha Loka planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to Supreme Lord. So no enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha, he's saying. Correct, no? Yeah. So, now the Chakravarti Thakur has explained the intent of this shloka. See, acharyas like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they have the ability to elaborate the meaning of the translation. Here, Kumaras are speaking something, but along with the Kumaras' mind and their intentions, our Chakravarti Thakur has given explanation. So the Kumaras are asking, what is the irregular nature of stopping the Brahmanas at the gate? Like that they are asking. And Jai Vijay are saying, you see, enemies of the Lord may come in disguise as Brahmanas and they may try to enter Vaikuntha by deceit. Therefore, it is our duty to question them first and then only we will allow them to enter. Like that, who is saying? Jai Vijay are saying. Then Kumaras are saying, no, no, you two are deceitful, pretending to be devotees. You are enemies of the Lord. Why they are calling you enemies of the Lord? Because you are acting in a way that Lord will not act. Yeah? Like we said, Bhagavad Pratikula Shilaha. We said, no, yeah. You are enemies of the Lord, showing disrespect to Brahmanas, and you are showing lack of peace, and you are showing a fighting nature. No one else but you should be distrusted by the Lord. Like that they criticized. Like that they are saying. You are thinking of the world to be like yourself only, the whole world, Atmavata. You cheaters mistrust all others, but you alone are not trustworthy. Like that they are saying. So, this is the first criticism that happens by the Kumaras. They are saying that you are worried about protection of the Lord from his enemies. But how can an enemy ever come to the door of the Lord's Vaikuntha? You are imagining that we are enemies. And because of that, you are showing us disrespect. That is the point they are saying. So, although Jaya Vijay have a reason, they are not accepting the reason. They are saying that You see, another very important thing here. The Vaikuntha has doors. Generally in this material world, why do we have doors? For safety, security. Is there any danger for the Lord in the Vaikuntha? Then what is the need of doors? Can anybody enter inside and harm the Lord? Is it possible? It's not possible. But why there are doors, why there are watchmen? It is only due to love of Lord's devotees for him. They want to protect him. Like for example, we all sleep at night so that next day morning when we get up, the bodily machine is well rested. Correct, no? If body is rested well, then we will be able to do work. Otherwise, if night you don't get enough sleep, you sleep only 2-3 hours, the next day morning head is heated up. Correct, no? Then you will not be able to, you know, function properly in the day. But does Lord require rest? But we have a bed for the Lord, correct? In the deity room if you go, we have bedding. So Lord agrees to sleep for the pleasure of his devotees. Otherwise he doesn't need sleep. Lord agrees to eat for the pleasure of his devotees. He's not hungry. He is the food supplier for everybody. Correct, no? He's another for everybody. Similarly, when the devotees tell the Lord, "Oh Lord, you know, we love you so much. We want to protect you. So we want to have a big door and we want to become doorkeepers." Lord says, "So be it." Okay, if that pleases you, you be my doorkeeper, and you protect me. And Lord welcomes that protection. Just like Krishna agreed to go to Gokulam as soon as he appeared, correct, no? As soon as he was born in the jail of Kamsa, immediately he was ready to go to Gokulam. Why he went to Gokul? Was he fearful of Kamsa? He actually wanted to please his parents, Vasudev and Devaki, so he went. So similarly, they are saying that, "Are you guys are thinking enemies of the Lord can come and fight with him. You don't know the power of the Lord." See, one important thing here, as we go from Shantarati to Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, the mood moves from greatness to sweetness. So the Shanta Bhaktas know the greatness of the Lord. But the Vatsalya Bhaktas or Madhurya Bhaktas, they don't know his greatness. They only know his sweetness. So once the sweetness arises in the heart, then there is a fear of safety and protection. Like Yashoda want to protect Krishna from Putana or Trinavarta and all. Similarly, or she want to protect from the demons sent by Kamsa. So why Yashoda feels need for protecting Krishna? Because she is in sweetness platform, correct, no? But if you see personalities like Kumaras, they are in greatness platform. So they will laugh at you if you talk about protection. Correct, no? What are you talking? Who can protect Lord? Lord is the supreme protector of everybody. Correct, no? He is not only is the creator, is the maintainer, is the protector. Everything is he. So, and he is the source of everything. So how can anyone offer him protection? So, because they are actually Shanta Bhaktas, they are able to see that Lord is great and he doesn't need protection and no enemy can harm him, correct, no? They are fully confident. Whereas Jai Vijay are also in Dasyaras, but even in Dasyaras they have experienced great sweetness from the Lord. So as soon as you fall in love with somebody, then there's a fear of protecting them. Say you love your mother and father very much. Then there's a fear that they should not get disease, they should not die, they should not get old.
They should die.
And they should be with you always. Like that. He's saying in verse 31-32, it is said that they were eager to have darshan of the Lord. And they speak about qualities. Although they were Brahmavadis. How as Brahmavadis were attracted? Actually, they will say the reason for this. In one shloka it is written, later it will come, that the Kumaras tell Lord Vishnu that, "We heard about your beautiful personality and form from Brahma when we were born. At that time, we became more inclined to the impersonal Brahman. But we were aware of your personality by Shravan. We had heard about it. Now, we heard that you reside in Vaikuntha. Therefore, we came to the doors of Vaikuntha out of some curiosity to watch." You know, because our father had told. See, therefore, the Brahmavadis are actually not lovers of the Lord, but they attain Shanti from the Brahman. But here they are, because they are by nature curious and inquisitive and philosophical minded. So there is a curious to know Krishna. All of us also, how many of you agree, we are more curious to know Krishna than to fall in love with him? Correct, no? In Jnana platform there is more curiosity to know, but not to love. But in Bhakti platform there is more tendency for loving and serving than knowing. If you ask the, like Uddhava came to Vrindavan, you know, he saw that the gopis had a more tendency for loving and serving. All types of service they were doing. And Uddhava said, I will explain to you technically how Krishna is a super soul. They said, you know, enough of this. Eh? They were not interested. So the jnanis being on a jnana platform, they were curious to know the form and see the form. But unexpectedly, they fell in love after smelling the this tulasi. Yeah. And verse number 33. Na hyantaram bhagavati ha samasta kukshav. Atmanam atmani nabho nabasiva dhiraha. Pashyanti yatra yuvayo suralingano kim. Vyutpaditam shudarabhedi bhayam jatosya. So here they are saying that the jnanis don't see the jiva to be different from the Lord in Vaikuntha. Because actually they were telling, see what they are saying to Jayavijay. Hey fools, please listen. Those whom you mistrust are within the Lord. That means, even we people, we are within the body of the Lord, because in the belly of the Lord, what is there? Whole universe is there. Because the whole universe is there, they said all jivas are in his belly only. And then he said, that is called samastha kukshav. See the first line, samastha kukshav. And then he's saying, the wise jnanis don't see difference between all jivas, atmanam, and the Lord atmani. They don't see the difference between the two. And here in Vaikuntha, and the Lord is the one who holds the jivas within him, just as the sky in the pot is within the great sky. So they were saying that, so what they are arguing here, see they are saying that you guys are worried about his protection, but we are like his children who are inside his belly. You are contained in him. How can anyone who is subordinate to him and who is insignificant, how can they harm him? Like that they are asking. See, Prabhupada is writing in the okay, see the second para. And third line. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear there. Their entire kingdom is such a completely harmonious unit that there is no possibility of enmity there. And Prabhupada gives an example. Just as there are many physiological constructions within the body, yet they all work in order for the satisfaction of the belly, stomach. Or just as in a machine there are hundreds and thousands of parts, yet they all run in harmony to fulfill the function of the machine. Similarly, in the Vaikuntha planet, the Lord is perfect, and the inhabitants also perfectly engage in service of the Lord. So this is about Vaikuntha world. And about material world, Prabhupada writes in first paragraph. Just as there are departments in each state, the beginning of the purport. In the material world, there is civil and criminal department. So in God's creation, there are two departments of existence, material world and spiritual world. So the criminal department is far smaller, whereas civil department is much bigger. So he's saying that all living entities who in the material world, they're considered to be more or less criminals because they don't wish to abide by the order of the Lord. And they are against the harmonious activities of God's will. So therefore, the Kumaras are asking, in the material world, there is a disharmony between Lord and the Jivas, correct? Huh? So Jivas rebel against him. But in the spiritual world, everybody is aligned with him. So where is the question of fear or enmity? That's another reason they are asking like that. Correct, no? Therefore, some people get bewildered. In those days, 10 years ago, when in some temples they started putting screening device, some people got offended. Hey, we are coming to see the Lord. What is the need of screening device here? But later on they understood that terrorists sometimes, there was one Sankat Mochan Hanuman Mandir in Varanasi. Sankat Mochan means the Hanumanji who removes your Sankat. But terrorists go there and put bomb there and they create Sankat for people. So therefore in temples also nowadays, screening device is there when you go in. Because temple is a place of faith, you know, the terrorists come there to, you know, disturb the faithful people. Therefore screening device is there. Similarly in Vaikuntha also the screening is necessary. They have Jaya Vijaya standing there out of love for the Lord, to offer protection to Lord. But these fellows, Kumaras, are asking, what is the need? So Prabhupada gives this couple of beautiful examples of the, in a machine, all machine parts working in harmony, and in the body also all the different limbs of the body working in harmony. Similarly, spiritual world works very perfectly well because Lord is the center and everybody works in harmony with one another. We can say that our ISKCON temple should be like that also, with the deities in the center. All the community has brahmacharis, we have congregation, we have boys, we have children, we have men, we have women. So the whole community should be guided by the scriptures. The movements of the community members, their lifestyle, the values and the belief systems and the ideologies they have, all of them should be based on the scriptures. And also the policies and principles that are made in the temple should all be based on Shastra. So then the community can work like a well-oiled machine. All different people rendering their own contributions for the service of the Lord. And there will be no enmity. Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavatam, there is one section that even higher planets, just I'll show you that verse that is coming in the Vritrasura section.
Persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of His lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as His own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower and middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride and belligerence.
See, five things. As soon as you have a material possession, either in middle planet or upper or lower, you are a possessor of the material opulences. What five things you get? Enmity. Why you get enmity? Because other fellows are there who want what you have. Like you will hear in Bhagavatam, when Indra has opulence of being the king of heaven, then demons want what he has. Therefore there is enmity. And then secondly there is anxiety. Why anxiety? Because as soon as you have a possession, there is a fear that the possession may be taken away. So there is a fear. It may be stolen away by somebody. Possession may be taken away. Like Indra is fearful, no? Many rishis are doing some penance. He has to immediately send Apsara there. Correct, no? That is one anxiety. And another anxiety is when nobody is taking away, you have the possession with you, then the anxiety is of maintenance. How will I maintain? Correct, no? Maintenance also causes anxiety because maintenance involves enormous effort and money and everything. And thirdly, mental agitation. Why the mental agitation comes? What people think of me, what people talk about me, do people recognize me? So when one possesses some things, so the mind is agitated. Then pride. The pride comes from being a proprietor. And then belligerence. Belligerence means angry like altercation. Or belligerence means actually arrogant and harsh and angry interactions with others. That's belligerence. Fighting. So naturally one has to fight also when one has some property. And then he says, thus, read it.
Thus, one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them.
So in the material world, you will see these five things are there. Therefore, there is you will find the banks, there are gunmen, correct, no? In the homes, they have this lens. Sometimes beware of dogs. Sometimes burglar alarms. Correct, no? As soon as you have some position in this world, there is a fear of losing it and protecting it and all those things. Whether you have money, whether you have land, you have woman, you have a position, anything you have, there is fear of being exploited where somebody may want to take it. Like Pandavas, their wife was insulted and their land was usurped. Their wealth was stolen away, correct, no? Through gambling match, you will see that. So, in this way, he is saying, but in the spiritual world, such fear is not there, correct, no? Because Lord himself is the Swami, Master there. And in the material world, because there is a cutthroat competition between jivas, the fear principle is very prominent in the material world. Therefore, it's called kunta. And Vaikunta means no fear. No fear, no anxiety. Whereas the basis of material world is fear only. Every jiva is thinking, you can see sometimes when a worm is moving, you touch the face of the worm with a stick, what it will do? Like that, it will put a circle, correct? You have seen that? Why? It appears like dead, so that you will not try to do anything to it. Then you may go away, correct? No? And you can observe this in so many creatures. Every creature is afraid. Actually, every creature wants to dominate a creature inferior to him and afraid of creature superior to him. Like that. That's material world. So, go to the next one. 34. Yeah. See. Okay, we'll read it and then we'll discuss. Tadvama musha paramasya vikuntha bartuhu kartum prakrishtam iha dhimahi mandadhibhyam lokani to vrajatamantara bhava drishtya papiya sast Traya ime ripavo syayatra.
Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies.
So Prabhupada explains the middle of the purport. It is stated that as long as the living entity is pure, he is in complete harmony with the desires of the Supreme Lord. But as soon as he becomes impure, he is in disharmony with the desires of the Lord. Read further.
By contamination, he is forced to transfer to this material world, where the living entities have three enemies, namely desire, anger and lust. These three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence, and when one is free from them, he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not, therefore, be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification, and one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary.
See, what are the three enemies? The first enemy is desire for sense gratification. And the second enemy is, when that desire for sense gratification is thwarted, one becomes angry. That is second. And the third enemy is increasing the desire for sense gratification more and more. So all the three have what as the basis? Sense gratification. The first enemy is desire for sense gratification itself is enemy. Bhoga vritti. And the second is somebody stopping that bhoga, becoming angry. Third is wanting bhoga more and more and more and more. You know, that is called greed, which we call it. So this is actually lust, anger, greed only, but all of them have basis as lust only. Desire, yeah. So these three enemies. So Chakravarti Thakur has given a very beautiful commentary. He says, the Kumaras are saying, we should think of something beneficial for you, dull servants of Lord of Vaikuntha. Go from Vaikuntha to the material worlds, where these three sinful enemies exist because of seeing differences. And the purport is saying, not being pacified by criticizing them in verse number 32, the Kumaras curse them out of great anger. Therefore, let us think of something most beneficial for you 2% of low intelligence. Let us think of something that includes different things they are saying. So the punishment should rectify what all mentality? One is, we want to removal of seeing differences, obstructing the brahmanas, and insulting the Lord. Three things they thought. Removal of seeing differences. Me, tu, tu. That should be gone. And another thing is obstructing brahmanas. That means the mishandling brahmanas. And insulting the Supreme Lord by acting in a way against this. Bhagavat Pratikula Shilasya. He said, no? Bhagavat Pratikula Shilasya. So those three things should be rectified in you. And they were silent for a moment. And then they spoke. You should go from Vaikuntha to those places where sinful enemies exist as these three enemies, lust, anger and greed. And by seeing the difference as offenders. Using the word these also indicates that now lust, anger and greed were present, having arisen in Kumaras also, he says. See, Chakravarti Thakur gives very beautiful. He is saying, actually they are pointing out the fault of Jaya Vijay was appropriate in the beginning. And to criticize them was inappropriate. And to curse them was absolutely inappropriate. So three levels was pointing out to them that you stopped us without understanding the mind of the Lord. It's not proper. Go and ask your own Lord whether we should be allowed or not. Like that they could have told. But in 32, they were criticizing. They called them as cheaters. And then they also said, you are deceitful, you are pretending to be devotees. Actually, whenever there are misunderstandings between devotees also sometimes, a person with a wide open mouth may speak things too much which is not necessary. Correct, no? You understand? Like here in the 32 verse they are saying, you are deceitful, pretending to be devotees. And then they are saying, and you are showing disrespect to brahmanas. You have lack of peace. You have a fighting nature. You should be distrusted by Lord, like that they are saying. So many things they are saying. So, this is one lesson we can learn, that sometimes when we are angry or displeased, we don't have to add too many things to the discussion, because that will create like, it's like adding fuel to fire. We say, no? It will increase. Like somebody, feels that some particular devotee has done some blunder. He is very angry with him, you know. In the course of exhibiting anger to him, what should be the goal of that anger? For example, a devotee has done some blunder. One is to elevate him. Another one is to make sure that the problem is solved, if possible. Correct, no? And how the problem can be solved. So, if the problem is not solved, you have sufficiently scolded that person. Is the purpose served? No. So, in the course of scolding a person, one may take many other past things and quote, you have always been like this. You have done blunders before. Now you are just repeating the blunder. You are simply a fool. You are simply crazy. You know, you are good for nothing. You have gone mad. You know, you deserve to be put behind the bars. Correct, no? So, you will find even in a devotee community, people will commit blunders. People will commit mistakes. You will see. And there are blunders of different levels also. How to handle these things in the most gentlemanly way, one has to see. Like for example, somebody is making life embers for the temple. Suddenly he did one blunder. He misbehaved with some well-wisher or a donor. And the donor complained to the temple, he is trying to misbehave with my daughter, or he looted some money from me, he didn't give me a receipt or something like that. So then, because sometimes he takes money, he took 2 lakh rupees and he didn't give a receipt, he pocketed the money. So then the ISKCON temple removes that person. After removing, what this fellow does, after 1 or 2 years, again he starts collecting from the people whom he knows. And he doesn't give them receipt. Is it proper? Now you have to call him and take an action on him. So what you can do, you can tell him, Prabhu, we have come to know that you are still collecting from the donors and you are not giving it to the temple, you are pocketing it. You know, you see, we are going to lodge a complaint about you to the police. Police will come to your house and issue a warrant and you may have to go to jail. Either you stop doing this and return back all the money, or you may have to be behind the bars. We are very sorry. As devotee, we respect you, but your behavior is not befitting a proper devotee. Correct, no? And that fellow may say, sorry, Prabhu, this is the money I got. Keep it now. Please don't call the police. He may say. Instead, how you can handle it? You can say that as soon as you find him out, you know, you call him and give all bad words. You badmash, you rogue, you rascal. You know, I have sent gundas to beat you up. You break his hands and legs. And he's admitted in the hospital. And then you go and meet him now. The hospital. Take out my tongue, tod diya, haath tod diya. Paisa wapis kar lo abhi. You know. And you can call him a rogue, a rascal, fool, all kinds of things. Is it necessary? It's an overreaction. You call it like that. No? Therefore, when in the actually the purpose should be ultimately solved, served. Purpose should be served. So here they already criticized in verse number 32. In 34, they are giving a curse that you go to the material world. So Chakravarti Thakur is making a point here that the same anger which they criticized was present in Jai Vijay. That very same anger tricked our Chatushkumaras, using which they spelled out the curse. Like that, Chakravarti Thakur said. So Chakravarti Thakur's analysis is that the anger of the Kumaras is not fully justified. It's like an overreaction, which they spelled out a curse without fully understanding the situation. Tesham itiritam ubhav avadharya ghoram. Tam brahma dandam anivaranam astra pugaihi. Sadyo harer anuchara vurubhivyatastat. Padagraha vapatatam atikatarena. Bhuyata ghoni bhagavad birakari dando. Yo nau hareta surahelananapyashesham. Mavonu tapakalaya bhagavat smritigno. Moho bhavet ihatu nau vrajato radhodaha. Yeah. Read the translation 35.
When the doormen of Vaikuntha Loka, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, found that they were going to be cursed by the Brahmanas, they at once became very much afraid and fell down at the feet of the Brahmanas in great anxiety. For a Brahmana's curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon.
Yeah. So this is the response of the Vaikunthavasis. When somebody is cursing them, they're enraged. How the Vaikunthavasis respond? First is they accepted the mistake, which is the most difficult step. Generally in this world, people always justify that I was right, you are wrong. So they could have told, stop, you Brahmanas, don't try to act too smart. Remember who we are. Hum kiske aadmi hain, jaan lo. Are hum Vishnu ke aadmi hain. Aap log bahar se aaye ho. Who is big, who is small? First of all, understand, they didn't say like that. Nor did they justify their action that we stopped you. Because you are impersonless and Lord only allows personless. They didn't argue like that. So one of the very first things is they accepted the mistake. And then here they are repenting because they are afraid and they fell down at the feet of the four Kumaras. And then they are also saying that they are willing to accept the punishment. If some punishment has to be given, they are ready to accept. We will see in the 36th verse. They are accepting the punishment. At the same time, they are very worried that what would have our master thought about us. You know, we have gone against him, he would be displeased. So these are four behaviors of the Jai Vijay we can see. The very first behavior is, as soon as they were cursed by the Kumaras, they accepted the mistake. Yes, we accept the mistake. And then they repented for the mistake. And they accepted the curse given. And they worried about having displeased their master. So this is a very amazing behavior we can see. See, sometimes when two devotees have a problem, say your superior tells you that you were faulty and it is very painful for you. You try to give explanation. He says that one example I'll tell you, it makes it easy for you. When my spiritual master was traveling abroad, he had one disciple in one particular temple. And that disciple had put up a wonderful program for him outside the temple somewhere. And then this Maharaj asked the temple president, are you happy with that disciple, that program he has arranged? This temple person was not happy. His face became very small. He said, Maharaj, he is completely independent. He never cooperates with the temple. See, he is putting up a program for you, spending so much lakhs of rupees. When I tell him to give donation to temple, he doesn't give a single penny. I tell him to come and enter service in temple, but he is taking the whole crowd to another place and he is having his own independent things. I already was thinking of writing a letter to you. Like that, he told Maharaj. And the Maharaj said, that program, I will not come, he said. He didn't go for that program. And that fellow, organizer, who was Maharaj's disciple, he became very disappointed. And he came to know this. When Maharaj went to his house, he told about how the local authority is very bad, they are uncooperative, we want to do so many things, they are not allowing and all that. Maharaj said, I don't want to hear any of this, he said. First, you cannot claim that you are right, because your being right is not pleasing your local authority. So what is the use of your simply being right? You are thinking that you are right and everything is all right with you. The first thing in your being right is you should make an effort to please your local authority. He said, you are trying to please me thinking that you are my disciple. And the local authority is another guru's disciple. But you have to go to the local temple, stick to the services in the temple. With their blessing and permission, you arrange a program, then I will come, he said. So this devotee became very totally disturbed after hearing all this. So he told another senior devotee, that Prabhu, I spent so much money and I put my heart for pleasing my spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasadat nagatikutopi. Now spiritual master is displeased, what can I do, Prabhu? So then that senior devotee told him, it is not only enough for you to be right on your own, but you have to know what Guru wants you to do, what your local authorities want you to do. You may do big, big things on your own. That is not enough. He told him. So this is one example. Now another example, even more amazing example than this, is Prithu Maharaj. Was Prithu Maharaj right or Indra right? Prithu Maharaj is right. Still the Lord told him to give up the 100 sacrifice. Correct, no? And he obeyed the Lord. For another purpose, the Lord told him. Correct, no? So this is another example where even though Prithu was right, the Lord gave him instruction to give up the sacrifice, you will see. Therefore, one should know it is not... one more example I'll give you, which will make it even more clear. It is not enough to be right, but you have to be kind also. Because right means, the policy is followed. Kind means, one has to administer the policy with in a compassionate way, in a considerate way. Sometimes what happens, can you give an example of somebody who applied a policy rightly but was not kind and the end result didn't come out well? Do you have example? Shastra? Yeah? Yeah. He was right? He was not right at all. He was kind but he was not right. I am asking the opposite. Somebody is right but was not kind. Yeah. But there, at that point, Shastras don't say that. It can be our observation. But I want an example where Shastras approve. Dhruva Maharaj is correct. See, Dhruva Maharaj was right in killing Yaksha, Prabhupada says, because Kshatriya should kill the enemies and subdue the enemies like our Yakshas. But he wanted to wipe out the race of Yakshas. That is not acceptable. Janamejaya wanted to wipe out the race of? That means hatred. That is not acceptable. Taking action was correct, but wiping out the race was not correct. Like that they protest. Correct, no? You will see like that. So, in this way, you will see, one may be right, but not kind. The second example I gave you was, what a second example I gave you? He was right, he was about to be not kind with Indra, but then he became kind also, on the order of Brahma and Vishnu, correct? No? And the first example I gave was the devotee who arranged everything for his spiritual master's pleasure. Because people sometimes foolishly think, my guru will be very pleased if I pamper him. And he doesn't, you know, some people are like that. What do you call? I don't know, guru chauvinistic or something. Guru chauvinist, you know. So, anyway, he was right. But guru thought he was not right, he was wrong. Because two blunders he did. One was ignoring supporting the local temple and aligning with the instructions of the local temple, correct? No? He was doing something independently to please guru, and that did not please the guru, correct? No? So why I gave these three examples? One very easy thing for all of us to do is this. You don't have to worry about, am I right, am I kind, or am I both, am I not both? No need to worry about this. Only one thing you have to worry, am I pleasing my superior? That's all. It's a one-stroke solution. Actually, if you are being right, being kind, or being right and kind, or not being right and kind, all these combinations, ultimately you have to make sure that the superior is pleased. For example, Jatayu, you know, he was not able to conquer Ravana. But did he please Lord Ram? Job done. He went back to Vaikuntha. You see? There are many examples in Shastra like this, you know, that, like for example, Hanuman, in burning Lanka to ashes. Later on, Hanuman went and saw, is Sita alive? Thank God, Sita was alive in the Ashoka Vatika. And Hanuman cursed his own anger. But did Lord Ram, was he displeased with him? Lord Ram appreciated his bonus service. That means job is done. So, Hanuman seems to be unkind, but Ram is pleased. Here, Jatayu seems to be failure, but Ram is pleased. Therefore, our goal should be the person for whom we are working. Like, you know, who is your authority, who is your counselor? Whom are you working ultimately for? You have to ask. So we have some superiors whom we report to. We have to check whether are we going in the right track. Are we pleasing them? Like here, the Jaya Vijay, who was the reporting authority for them? Lord Vishnu. So was he pleased? He wasn't pleased. He will come now. He will come in next chapter. He will come and tell what he felt about it. Correct, no? Yes. Then you should go to that superior. If that superior also is faulty, then you should go to his superior. Therefore, in our youth meetings and all, I tell the boys, if you have problem with your facilitator, go to caretaker. Problem with caretaker, go to counselor. Problem with counselor, go to president. If you have problem with president, go to his guru. Yeah? Problem with guru, go to Prabhupada. Problem with Prabhupada, go to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Go up. Finally, go to Radharani. Problem with Radharani, go to Krishna, he'll slap to you. The problem with Radharani also. You know? Yeah. But you can go up. You can keep going. If you have problem with one authority, you can always go up. Correct? No?
What I was asking is, already policies made.
Yes. Mike.
Already policies made by superiors. Now what he is wanting is something different from what policy is.
And in case you feel that the difference he wants to make is not appropriate, for example, you have the right to tell him, Prabhu, I'll be very thankful if you consult your superior, or if you want me to also check with superior, I can check. Because you and I have trust in him, so we'll check with him. For example, Indra gave one project to Samvartaka to go and flood the Vrindavan. And Samvartaka told him, are you sure? You know, because you want to flood Vrindavan, and Vrindavan is very dear to Lord. Indra said, no, I know very well. You go ahead, I'll come with you behind in Airavat. Therefore, later on, when Krishna wanted to punish Indra, he didn't punish Airavat. I mean, he didn't punish our Samvartaka. Because he knows that Samvartaka need not be punished. Correct, now? Because the authority has the onus, responsibility. Yeah. So, which verse I was talking now? 35, yeah. I was telling about criticism. See, in verse number 32, there is criticism. Verse number 34, there is curse. They are giving a curse. And now we read 35 and 36 now. 35, he read now. Realizing that they had committed an offense, since the Brahmanas were angry, they immediately became disturbed. First, they became afraid of the Lord. Bibhyataha. They became afraid. Oh, these Brahmanas have become angry with me. That means the Lord will be displeased. He is our guest to Vaikuntha. And guest has become very angry. Surely the news will go to Lord, and the Lord will become disturbed. Oh, alas, we have displeased our master. Like that they thought. And then 36th verse, he says, let the punishment prescribed by you to me, an offender, bear fruit. It will deliver us from unlimited offense to the devotees. By a little repentance caused by your mercy, may we not lose memory of the Lord under illusion, though we fall into material world. See, they are saying, Bhuvyatagoni Bhagavad Birakari Dando. They are saying that, let the punishment come, Bhuyat. Let the Gor Danda on us come, going to the Bhuloka. Let it come. Yo nau Hareta Sura Helanam Apyashesham Ma O Nuta Apakalaya Bhagavat Smriti Gno. Let Bhagavat Smriti not be destroyed. Although we will get Asura's bodies, let our Bhagavat Smriti not be destroyed. And how will it not be destroyed? Because Anutapa. Ma Vo Anutapa Kalaya. Because our hearts are filled with repentance. May our repentant heart remain repentant so that we will have Bhagavat Smriti. Neither they are saying. Therefore, Prabhupada says, only by repentance and penance Krishna can be seen. Prabhupada says in one purport. So now we are repenting our mistake. So let this repentance remain. Let us not become hard-hearted. Let Bhagavad Smriti also remain with us. Yeah. Adho Adha, when we are going down to the material world. And then when they heard it, the Kumara start, oh, we have offended the Lord because we have cursed two devotees of the Lord. Oh, what shall we do? We have been conquered by anger. Our perpetual identity as peaceful saints has been destroyed in Vaikuntha. Actually, the jnanis are very proud that the lower nature cannot overtake them by dint of their intelligence and realization. Jnanis have that pride. So here they are saying that jnanis generally behave in such a way that they will not allow anger to come, because they know very well when you become angry, the tapovalam is reduced. Like, you know, Vishwamitra, when he saw Ramba, you know, he became agitated, so became angry. Then he lost the tapovalam, correct, no? So we were till now, till date, we have no history of becoming angry. But now we became angry and our identity as peaceful saints has been destroyed in Vaikuntha. Repenting their action, they spoke to each of the doorkeepers individually. That's the singular number is used. Let the punishment given by you to me, an offender, remain. I think of the curse as a blessing, they're saying. That punishment should destroy the offense committed in Vaikuntha to the Lord and yourselves, caused by disrespect to you, by conducting ourselves against the desires of the Lord, by showing anger which should not be expressed in Vaikuntha. But we have shown remorse caused by your mercy. By that speck of remorse, though we fall into the material world, let us not have the illusion of forgetting the Lord. Like that the Jai Vijay are saying. So, both of them, what is going on in their heart is being expressed here. Jai Vijay are saying that, yes, we admit our mistake, we repent for the same, and by that repentance, Bhagavad Smriti is arising in our heart. When you go to the material world, let the Bhagavad Smriti not be destroyed. But we accept the punishment. We are not saying we will not. But let us not be subjected to illusion of forgetting the Lord. The curse should not be undone. Therefore, let us get bewildered. But let that bewilderment produce remembrance of the Lord, they are saying. They prayed for the remembrance of the Lord. Evam tadaiva Bhagavan Aravinda Nabaha Svanam vibuddhya sadadikramamarya hridya Tasmin jayau paramahamsa mahamuninam Anveshaniya charanau chalayan sahashrihi. So see, when this conversation is going on between them, that time Lord Vishnu along with Lakshmi, Sahasri, along with Lakshmi is going to come to the Vaikuntha door. Hey, what is happening at the door? Some problem, huh? Seems to be some kuch gadbad chal raha udhar, huh? So Lord wanted to see. Yeah, read the translation.
At that very moment, the Lord, who is called Padmanabha because of the lotus grown from his navel, and who is the delight of the righteous, learn it. Who is the delight of the righteous, learnt about the insult offered by his own servants to the saints. Accompanied by his spouse, the goddess of fortune, he went to the spot on those very feet sought for by recluses and great sages.
So, 37. He says here, the Lord, lover of the Brahmanas and affectionate to his devotees, then appeared there. Why? Why did he appear there at the door? To prove that bhakti attracts the Lord. That bhakti shines and makes others shine. By making the Kumaras and doorkeepers bathe themselves in water drops from an ocean of inner humility arising from committing offense to each other. By purifying them of their faults and making them realize the meaning of devotee and brahmana. Very, very, see, one problem with Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is he writes very deep sentences and long sentences. Because he's very exalted acharya, so when he writes long sentences, we have to take it in bits and try to understand very carefully. During our Vidyapitam days also, we found his sentences are very deep, although we may have the purport with us. In fact, they are in Sanskrit and they are translated into English and given to us. So, we heard in the introduction of our Bhagavatam course when we began that the acharyas are like a lighthouse for the ships which are sailing in the samsara sagara. So, the ship sometimes need to know the route. Know the path, so the lighthouse gives light. Similarly, when we are studying Bhagavatam, the Acharya's commentaries are like lighthouse. Why? Because many times we may read it superficially, but the Acharya's give us the intention of Vishnu. For example, why is he bringing Shri with him, Lakshmi with him? Because Lord thought this both the parties have become angry, and such kind of anger which is actually hurting one another. That is anger which resides in the material world. And material world, they only know Bahiranga Shakti. So Lord thought, let me give them an experience of Antaranga Shakti. Because Antaranga Shakti produces bliss. Antaranga Shakti is Hladini, no? Hladini potency, spiritual bliss she produces. So as soon as the Divine Mother arrives there, both parties became cooled down. Because you will see that the only person who can control a naughty child is the mother only. It's very difficult for anybody else to control. So the jivas also, by seeing the amazing qualities of Lakshmi and her devotion to Vishnu, they become pacified and their material qualities are driven away. Therefore, one place he says that Lord brought Lakshmi with him. Another reason he says that in the presence of women, the brahmacharis are gentle, he says. Prabhupada writes one place. So, as soon as Lakshmi came, Kumaras became perfect gentlemen now. They did not want to show their lower nature of becoming angry anymore. You know, like that he says. And also, why the Lord arrived at the doorstep, there is a reason. First of all, the Jai Vijay servants, they fell at the feet of Kumaras. Correct, no? And they sought forgiveness. They accepted the punishment also. And they begged for remembrance of the Lord. So this is actually a Vaishnava behavior. Correct, no? Now you may have a question. Although Jaya Vijay showed Vaishnava behavior like this, how did Lord Vishnu give darshan to the four Kumaras who are actually Brahmavadis and not eligible for seeing the Lord eye to eye? How did Lord give darshan? You may have a question. And another reason we all know very well that bhakti is always awarded by a bhakta, not by Lord directly. Lord's mercy is called as anugami of bhakta's mercy. And which bhakta is he? Kanishta Madhyam Uttam? Madhyam, yeah. Because Madhyama differentiates between who is a dveshi, who is innocent, and Madhyama actually is also going for preaching. Uttama Bhakta doesn't preach generally. You know, he thinks everybody is devotee except me. He thinks like that, Uttama Bhakta. Huh? Uttama Bhakta feels that preaching is necessary for whom? For myself only. He feels like that. So Madhyama, therefore Prabhupada said, Uttama Bhakta gets down to Madhyama platform and he preaches, he said. So a Madhyama preacher, distributes, bhakti seeds to the people, isn't it? So now, then how did the Kumaras get darshan of Lord Vishnu without receiving bhakti from a bhakta? We may have a question. Therefore, Chakravarti Thakur has explained, when Jaya Vijay fell at the feet of Kumaras and clasped their feet and cried tears of repentance, accepted their punishment, begged for remembrance of the Lord, when they did all these things, at that time the Kumaras came to good sense. And they repented. Alas, I think we have overly punished, these persons who are very humble devotees of the Lord. Any of you felt any time that you took a serious action and then suddenly you realized that it was too serious for this person because he's a very humble person. Correct, no? You may feel like that. Like, he was selling, his guys, Burijan Prabhu was saying, in Delhi, there was one car coming in the road like this. One devotee came from a colony outside like this. Then both cars came like that. Of course, they didn't collide. They came like this, almost about to touch each other. Then this fellow was right and this devotee was wrong because he came out of a colony. And this fellow was going on the road. So this fellow became angry with this devotee driver. He looked at him and said, "Hakal hai kya?" Like that. People ask now like that. "Do you have buddhi? You are driving like this." And the devotee did like this. Like this he did, devotee. He kept his head down. And then the devotee lifted his head and saw the car was gone. He didn't find the car only. Why the car went away? Because that fellow was happy that this fellow has become humble. He's admitting his fault. Generally, this doesn't happen. Generally. Wherever you find two car people, somebody hit like this, both, what will they say? Who is faulty? Other fellow is faulty. That is generally seen, correct? No? Similarly, here what happened when Kumaras saw that these fellows are catching our feet and they are crying and they are repenting and they are accepting punishment also. And what are they begging for? Only remembrance, nothing else. They are not telling us to reduce the punishment. They are not telling us to nullify the punishment. Vimochan they are not asking. They don't want vimochan also. They only want remembrance. So they were pleasantly surprised and shocked. Seeing their amazing quality, the Chatushkumaras developed repentance in their heart and they cried, "Alas, alas, we have overly criticized and cursed these two men who are devotees of the Lord and it was inappropriate for us, number one. Number two, although we are jnanis who generally never become, see, vimanyava surda sadavoye. You know what is it was? What is that verse? Mahatse vam dvara mahur vimuktes. Tamodvaram yoshitam sangi sangam mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanjavas sugurdas sadavoye. See, in this purport, translation Prabhupada writes, impersonalists and devotees, Prabhupada writes. Both are called Mahatmas, Prabhupada writes. And then he says, vimanjavaha means they never become angry. Sugurda, well-wisher of all living entities. Sadavaha, they strictly follow all the rules and regulations. They peacefully follow all the regulations of the Vedas, like that he says. And Mahantaste, Samachitta, they are always equipoised to all living entities. Prashanta, they are always deeply satisfied, he says. So that quality of Vimanyavaha we have broken because we have become angry on these two persons who are innocent. They don't deserve our anger. So they felt repentance. And when they felt repentance like this, suddenly bhakti appeared in their heart. Now who is the preacher for the Kumaras? That is how the devotee's mercy has come in their life. Therefore Vishnu came to the entrance. Correct, no? So that's how Vishnu's kripa is anugami of bhakta kripa. So the bhakta who prays to them is who? Jaya Vijaya. Like that Chakravarti Thakur says. Very amazing philosophy, no? So that means the preachers, Jaya Vijaya, they exhibited humility first, and that humility evoked humility in the heart of Kumaras. And that humility which was evoked caused bhakti to arise in their hearts. And that bhakti attracted Lord Vishnu to come to the entrance. And Lord Vishnu also brought Lakshmiji with him. By simply looking at Lakshmi, their hearts were flooded with spiritual bliss. Who is actually the personification of devotion? Lakshmi herself had come. So their heart became filled with great devotion. At that time, the tulasi from the Lord's lotus feet carried by the wind, the aromas. It was smelled by the Chatushkumaras. So the bhakti appeared in their heart and Lord's kripa came. Immediately their fixity on Akshara Brahma was defeated and they became personless instantly. Like that he says. So therefore he is saying, this was the humility. This is a step by step. And what was Lord thinking? I will inundate those jnanis in an astounding ocean of great bliss, giving them an experience of my sweet feet, which they have not yet experienced before. Therefore they are angry. So the Lord thought, I will. They know that I possess the external energy, but they do not know that my energy arising from my Swarupa, Lakshmi, I will make them experience my bliss Shakti. Therefore he appeared with Lakshmi, like that he says. Tantva agatam pratihritau payikam svapumbis. Te chakshataksha vishayam svasamadhi bhagyam. Hamsa shriyor vyajanayo shiva vayu locha lolat. Chubrata patra shashikesharash shikarambhum. Shikarambhum. See, in this 38th verse onwards, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 5 verses, the unprecedented sweetness of the Lord is explained. So, here there are two words Prabhupada highlights in the purport. One is the Samadhi Bhagyam, he says, which means Lord cannot be seen by ordinary eyes. But now he became visible to the eyesight of the Kumaras. This is called Samadhi Bhagyam, he says. Meditators who are very fortunate can see Vishnu form in their hearts only. But seeing him face to face is a different matter, Prabhupada says. This is only possible for pure devotees. That means a yogi seeing the Lord in the heart is not as great as a bhakta seeing Lord eye to eye. Like that, he says. And another word he uses, Achakshata Vishayam, Achakshataksha Vishayam, which means the only Vishayam object for one's eyes is who? The Supreme Lord's personal beautiful form. And then 39th verse, Krishna Prasada Sumukham Sprahaniya Dhamma. See, it is not Krishna, it is Krishna. Krishna Prasada Sumukham Sprahaniya Dhamma. Snehavaloka Kalaya Hridi Samsprishantam. Shyame Prita Vurasi Shobitaya Shreyasvash. Shyame Prita Vurasi Shobitaya Shreyasvas. Chudamanim Subhagayantam Ivatma Dishnyam. See, he says, Krishna Prasada, offering his blessing to all. Sumukham, his face was beautiful. And Sprahaniya Dhamma, his shelter was desirable for all living entities. Lord's. and Sneha Avaloka. His eyes were laden with love, Sneha. Kalaya means expanding mercy. His face was blossoming, 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 like you have seen a rose opening. As the Lord came, his eyes were laden with grace, mercy, and his smile was also observed by Kumaris. Lord was smiling also, and his face was like a lotus, he says. Hridayam sprashantam, it was heart-touching, he says. His smile was heart-touching. Like that, Lord is appearing there with his broad chest, where the Lakshmiji resides there. In this way, the Lord appeared personally, spreading his beauty. So if you see the purport, read the purport, first two, three lines.
When the Lord came, he was pleased with everyone. Therefore, it is stated here, Krishna Prasada Sumukham. The Lord knew that even the offensive doormen were his pure devotees, although by chance they committed an offense at the feet of other devotees.
Yeah. And then Prabhupada tells about the danger of committing an offense, you know, mad elephant offense, Prabhupada says. And then he says, on the part of the Lord, there was no offended mood, because he does not accept any offense created by his sincere devotee. But a devotee should be very cautious of committing offenses at the feet of another devotee. The Lord, being equal to all, and being especially inclined to his devotee, looked as mercifully at the offenders as the offended. This attitude of the Lord was due to his unlimited quantity of transcendental qualities. His cheerful attitude towards the devotees was so pleasing and heart-touching that his very smile was attractive for them. So here Prabhupada reveals a very great truth. The Lord has an oceanic heart which can accommodate all kinds of deficiencies of the living entities. Like, you know, Lord looked at Jayavijay. One side of Jayavijay is they misbehaved with Chatush Kumaras and they stopped them and earned their wrath and they acted foolishly. Or we also said earlier, Bhagavad, Patikulya Vishaya, they did all this. This is one side of their personality. The other side of the personality, Lord thought, but how many long years they have served me and they have been my servants. And how many times they have acted rightly, perfectly they have acted, and they have pleased me. So if 99 times they have pleased me and one time they have displeased me, should I take it seriously? So Lord is able to ignore the mistakes of his devotees and forgive them. This is how he forgave the Jayavijay. And how did he forgive the Kumaras? Lord understood the consequence of the behavior of Jayavijay upon the Kumaras. So the Lord actually thought that they are my guests. It was our duty to receive them warmly and be kind and courteous to them. But my servants have acted wrongly. So they were given punishment, but actually I am willing to take the punishment. The Lord will say that in the next chapter. So being the Lord's guests to Vaikuntha, the Lord actually wanted them to be treated very warmly. Chakravarti Thakur says, the Kumaras are filled with doubts. We do not know if the Lord is angry with us for cursing his two devotees. Like that they were thinking. But the Lord had a pleasing face internally and externally. And he smiled upon them. Therefore they felt inner joy. Oh, he is fully pleased. Like that who thought? The Kumaras thought. The Lord was the abode of beauty, sweet sound, fragrance, youth and mercy and generosity, desired by the eye and other senses of the sages. So Lord was having beauty, his speech was sweet, his fragrance was amazing. He had youthful beauty and mercy and generosity. And Jayavijay wept in lamentation. Since we will fall down, burned by the fire of the Brahmana's curse, we will no longer see the Lord's sweetness. When they saw the Lord's sweetness, this is what they thought. And the Lord responded to them by smiling at them also. He touched the hearts of all present by the skill of his affectionate glance. And then, you know, the Kumaras saw the Lord smiling at Jayavijay also. Then they thought, hey, how affectionate he is to his devotees. Like that they thought. In this way, he attracted their minds. And with Lakshmi in the form of a golden lion situated on his left upper chest, He was the abode of Vaikuntha, Atmadishnyam, he says. So Prabhupada says, this type of behavior of the Lord is because of his ocean of Kalyana Guna, ocean of auspicious qualities. His forgiveness knows no limits. Lord, actually he was not in a mood to come there and just sort out the problem. But the first step in sort out the problem is to exhibit maturity. So that both the parties will be willing to take help and sort out the problem. Correct, no? Because if Lord, as soon as Lord came, imagine he gave a chastisement to Jai Vijay. Hey, fools, you guys didn't treat the guest properly, you know. What is the use of keeping you as my servants? You have spoiled my good name. Huh? And then you turn to the Kumaras and say, wait a minute, you guys, you are too hasty to offer a curse to my servants. Huh? Do you have common sense? Huh? Is it such a big blunder? If the Lord spoke like that, you know, the whole problem would have become more escalated. Why I am role-playing like this for you? Many times, this is one of our immediate responses whenever we see problems in this world. Because we, our nature is, as soon as there is a problem, we want to solve it immediately. We go for the immediate solution. We don't go for a long-term solution. So the long-term solution means if two guys are having a problem, that means they are not Krishna conscious. So you have to first make them Krishna conscious. So Lord thought, when Lord came there with his beautiful form and smiled at the offenders and the offended, and both parties cooled down, and the both parties were relieved, and they were peaceful. And when their minds became peaceful, they were ready to accept any punishment. Both. Now you will see that. Kumaras are saying that. He give us any punishment you want. So in this way, the Lord's sweetness, beauty is explained. Read the next translation, 40. Now onwards, 40, up to 42 you can read. They are all only description of Lord's beautiful thing.
He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips. And he wore a garland of fresh flowers which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his hands on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled a lotus with another hand. His countenance was distinguished by cheeks that enhanced the beauty of his alligator-shaped pendants, which outshone lightning. His nose was prominent, and his head was covered with a gem-studded crown. A charming necklace hung between his stout arms, and his neck was adorned with the gem known by the name Kaustubha. The exquisite beauty of Narayan, being many times magnified by the intelligence of his devotees, was so attractive that it defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune in being the most beautiful. My dear demigods, the Lord who thus manifested himself is worshipable by me, by Lord Shiva, and by all of you. By all of you. The sages regarded him with unsated eyes and joyously bowed their heads at his lotus feet.
Yeah, in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, in other words, the beauty of goddess of fortune is secondary in the presence of the Lord. Read that further. In the words of Vaishnava poets.
In the words of Vaishnava poets, it is said that Lord's beauty is so enchanting that it defeats hundreds of thousands of cupids. He is therefore called Madan Mohan. It is also described that the Lord sometimes become mad after the beauty of Radharani. Poets describe that under those circumstances, although Lord Krishna is Madan Mohan, he becomes Madan Daha, or enchanted by the beauty of Radharani. Actually, the Lord's beauty is super excellent, surpassing even the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. The devotees of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets want to see the Lord as the most beautiful.
Like Brahma and Shiva, they want to see him as more beautiful than Lakshmi. Yeah.
But the devotees in Gokula or Krishna Loka want to see Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. The adjustment is that the Lord, being Bhakta Vatsala, or one who wants to please his devotees, assumes such features so that devotees like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and other demigods may be pleased.
Yeah, see, the same point. In Vaikuntha, the greatness is important. In Goloka, sweetness is important. So because greatness is important, Brahma, Shiva and all request the Lord, please kindly keep yourself more beautiful than Lakshmi. Because you are the Swami, no, ultimately. And if the Lord becomes subordinate to Lakshmi, they get bewildered. How can Swami be subordinate? So just not to disturb their mindset, the Lord agrees to be more beautiful than Lakshmi in the Vaikuntha. Even when he becomes Mohini Murthy, the Mohini Murthy is more beautiful than Lakshmi also, it is said. Whereas Krishna in the Goloka, because the sweetness is predominant there, he keeps himself, less attractive than Radharani. Radharani is considered Vrindavaneshwari. Like that Prabhupada explains. Beautiful, no? And one more thing he says here, Chakravarti Thakur says, Lakshmi smiles at him attractively. That's the word, Utsmitam. Her love is like this. Because of splendor arising from bliss, his limbs are resplendent with proper clothes and ornaments. And Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayana is not like Shiva, who disfigures his beauty with ashes. Look, Shiva is also beautiful, but he disfigures his beauty with ashes all over his body. He's saying, the word bhajantam means he has clean limbs. For instance, he is served by thousands of servants. Like the Swanam, he says. 43rd verse is a famous verse. We'll recite together. Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Injal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antargata Svavivarena Chakara Tesham Sankshobhumakshara Jushama Pichitta Tanvohu. Translation.
When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding.
See, Prabhupada writes in the purport, third line from bottom, instead of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, they thought it wise to be devotees. Becoming a servitor of the lotus feet of the Lord is better than becoming one with the Lord. Like the Prabhupada writes. And Chakravarti Thakur writes here, the wind touching something related to a limb of the Lord made them fall from their position of Brahman and produced a great agitation in them. The wind carrying the aroma of tulasi combined with red and white of Lord's toenails, like filaments on the lotus of his feet, entered the sages' minds to take control of the place. Now, Chakravarti Thakur has raised a question here, what somebody may ask. But without permission, is it not improper to enter their minds, just as it would be improper for the Kumaras and others to enter into someone else's inner chambers? Like that somebody can ask, no? Question. And then he is giving answer. But the nostrils are natural holes for the air. That's the answer he gives. Chakravarti Thakur. Because, they are not closed. They are always open. No, like that is it. See, for eyes, you can have eyelids closing the eyes, but the nose is generally open. Therefore, it entered, he's saying. Very cool answer he's giving. Saying. And then he's asking, whose permission does the air need? What happened? What happened when the air entered? Their mind and bodies became agitated. First, the mind became very strongly agitated by the changes arising from bliss. That means Romancha, Kampashu, Taranga, Bhaja, that happened to them. And the body became agitated with tears and hair standing on end and perspiration. A person desiring to enter another's country first kills the leader, plunders the place and disturbs the place. Then he conquers it with his troops. If they were so fixed in bliss of Brahman, why should the bliss of realizing Bhagavan make them identify with the Lord? Like that he is asking. Even though they had been practicing contact with the Brahman, the bliss of Bhagavan was far more powerful because of its sweetness. Like that he says. So in this way, that they were conquered, he says. So again, the Lord's beauty is explained in the 44th verse. Actually, I have I have written themes for this chapter. I'll just show you quickly. Where is that? Where were we? See from here. You are seeing? Acha, it hasn't come yet. Okay. So the vital aspect of this chapter is over. Now we will. Only the Kumaras is going to speak now. 45 translation, you read till it comes. 45 translation. 44 translation.
The Lord's beautiful face appeared to them like the inside of a blue lotus.
Like a whirl of a blue lotus, yes.
And the Lord's smile appeared to be a blossoming jasmine flower. After seeing the face of the Lord, the sages were fully satisfied. And when they wanted to see him further, they looked upon the nails of his lotus feet, which resembled rubies. Thus, they viewed the Lord's transcendental body again and again. And so, they finally achieved meditation on the Lord's personal feature.
Which means, if you see something again and again, then we get absorption. Therefore, we take darshan every day, again and again. That's the reason. Because repeatedly contemplating and observing causes meditation. This is anusmriti, we call it. You read that. Yeah. See, deal with great souls cautiously, not outrageously. That is 30 verse. Ordinary person anger, liberated person's anger. And there is no disharmony in Vaikuntha between Lord and residents. You remember? And chastising for reformation is perfect, but cursing is faulty. Then three principles of criminality. Sense gratification, anger in absence of opportunity for sense gratification, and lusty to acquire more than necessary. And then response of Vaikunthavasis, when they realize their mistake, how they respond. Four steps I told you. First they admit the mistake, then they repent for it, they are willing to accept the curse. Fourthly, they only want to remember the Lord always. They don't want anything else. And devotee can tolerate any heavy punishment except on seeing the Lord in the heart, and seeing the Lord directly. Now they are seeing the Lord directly. And then Lord smiling at offenders and offended. And features of the Lord that charm the hearts of devotees. And then Lord Narayana's beauty defeats beauty of Goddess of Fortune. And how does an impersonalist turn into personalist? That was through the Tulasi Makaranda entering into the nostrils. And 44, 45 we are reading just now. Meditation on Lord's beautiful personal features. Read 45 also.
This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process. And it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full in eight kinds of achievement, but for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection.
Yeah, like Chakotrakur is saying, the scent of Tulasi purified their pranas and then the senses, since the senses are dependent on the pranas. You know, our five Jnanendriyas, you know, they get push from intelligence. And our five karmendriyas get push from prana. So prana is the force which moves the five karmendriyas. Similarly, intelligence is the force which moves the five jnanendriyas. So here, therefore, he's saying that. First, the eyes received the qualification for the sweetness of Lord's form. Because of the unlimited variety of sweetness within each limb of the Lord, they desire to simultaneously experience all the sweetness. Actually, Shastras say that when one gets to see the Lord eye to eye, they want all the other senses to become like the eye to see. That is called a saundarya. And then when the Lord's fragrance of his body is smelled by the devotee, then he wants all the senses to become like nose. That's called saurabhya. And when the devotee hears the speech of the Lord or the flute of the Lord, then all one senses one want to become like ears. That is called sausvarya. Sausvarya. And when the Lord touches the devotee, for a dasa bhakta, the Lord puts his lotus feet on his head. It is so tender. Or the for the sakhas of the Lord clasps their hands like he does with Arjuna. Or for the parental devotees like Yashoda, Lord wipes their tears. So they feel the gentle touch of the Lord. Madhurya devotees, they feel the embrace of the Lord. So when the Lord does this, they feel the tenderness of the Lord's body called Saukumarya. So there is Saundarya, Saundarya, Sausvarya, Saurabhya, and Saukumarya, that is touch, sense of touch. They feel like that. So similarly, these feelings came to Kumaras. That's what he's telling. Lord's face was like the inner part of a blue lotus bud. Without the rough outer covering, they are saying, and relished its sweetness. His lips were even more beautiful. Upon his lips was a smile, which was most beautiful. They had been previously blessed by Brahma, their father, and their brother Narada for achieving bhakti. Now the fruit of their blessings were manifesting. Labha Ashisha. See, this is the meaning of Labha Ashisha. Labha means to get. Ashisha means Ashirvad. So what Ashirvad they got? From Narada and Brahma, that one day you guys will become personal instant devotees. That blessing came true now. Like that is telling. What was the beauty of Lord's feet? Having experienced a little of the sweetness of the Lord's face and being unsatisfied, they looked again at his beautiful feet, which were shelter of the ruby nails. The nail of the Lord was like ruby color. And again looking at the underside of his feet, they again and again looked upon his face. Sridhar Swami says that because they were unable to experience the beauty of all of the Lord's limbs simultaneously, they began to meditate on those limbs one by one. Like that he says. How many of you have seen a picture of Kumaras inspecting different parts of Lord's body? You have seen them? Correct, huh? Yeah, after they became personless. So in this way, very proper gives. Now when you come in the afternoon, we will start with 46. Kumaras are going to answer Kumara's speech. Shri Prabhupada ki.